to What's the Mood, where we talk all things mood and mindset, sleep, nutrition, chemical health, and leadership. I'm your host, Julie Berry, from the Illinois Human Performance Project, and we are so glad you're here.
Tyler Pasek is a sports psychologist who works with coaches, athletes, and businesses to help them experience greater success in their competitive environments. On this episode of What's the Mood, we talk with Tyler about the importance of doing the things you say you will do and strengthening communication skills.
Right, here we go. Okay, Tyler, it's great to have you on back on What's the Mood. We at the Human Performance Project had an awesome time with you with the Performance Clinic, just speaking to educators and coaches and teachers. And there was so much great content in there, we thought we could just move the conversation over here. So thanks for coming.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. So some of the things that I pulled away from the clinic were things like the number one strategy to influence positive change that you said worked 100% of the time was that we would do what we say we would do. We talked about active listening. And I think we'll also get to talk a little bit about communication skills. And I just had a question about the do what you say you would do. Like you say, that's the number one strategy to influence change and it works 100% of the time. Do you really believe that? Does it really work 100% of the time?
I totally believe it does. I mean, by doing what you say you will do, you build trust with the people that you're working with, you know, like, so if you're trying to influence change in a kid, then you need them to trust what you're saying is like solid advice and solid wisdom, you know, for them to actually make that change. But if they don't trust you, then they're not going to see what you're saying as valid. So it's really like by doing what you say you will do, well, then you build that base level of trust. And if you look at any like leadership pyramid or, you know, how to build relationships in general, like the first step is always trust. And so by doing what you say you will do, like that's integrity, right? Like you have integrity if you do what you say you will do. And so people trust you more. And then also like when you put your word on something and you do it, then yeah, like that means that like you're an honest person, like, hey, I will follow through with what I said I would do for you. And then on the other end of the spectrum, if you don't do what you say you will do, then like people don't trust you. They're like, okay, well, like that person can't get done what they need to get done. You know, like if they were in a job, then that person would get fired. You know, if you asked your or maybe you just like don't have a good relationship with your boss. If you ask your boss to do something and then they're like, oh yeah, I got that, don't worry. And then like a week or two goes by and they're like, hey, like what's going on here? You know, like you said you were going to do this and now it's like too late. And then you go home and you complain to your like spouse about how terrible your boss is. It's like the same thing with kids and teachers or kids and coaches. The kid asks the coach to do something for them, you know, like talk, maybe it's recruiting, like the kid asks the coach to reach out to a college coach for them and they never do it. And, or like it takes them reminder after reminder after reminder, the kid's like, okay, like how much does this person even care about me? You know? And then all of a sudden the coach wants them to change and he expects it instantly. And when he doesn't get it, he's like, what the heck? Like I've told you two or three times. It's like, okay, coach, but I asked you to reach out to a college coach for me two or three times as well. And like, that couldn't happen. So like there's the disconnect here. So again, like if you do what you say you will do, you'll build trust. And if you don't do what you say you're going to do, then that destroys trust. Yeah. So I guess on the other end of the spectrum, it could be like, what's something that doesn't work 100% of the time? It's by not doing what you say you're going to do.
Yeah. I'm imagining like maybe some coaches or educators are listening to the podcast and maybe they're like taking a self-assessment of like, do I do what I say I'm going to do? Do I have room for improvement to, you know, do what I say I'm going to do? What kind of advice would you give to someone who's like, I haven't always said what I'm going to do, but I want to improve in that, or maybe repair the times, maybe the coach who said they would reach out to a recruiter and never did, like, mm-hmm. Is the answer to that simple? Is it complicated? What kind of advice would you give?
Twofold, I guess. One would be have a system so that you aren't missing as many things. You know, like if you say you're going to do something, like have a note on your phone that's like, oh, okay, like I told this person I would do this. And then just always referring back to that note. And then, yeah, if you forget something, then it's like, okay, when's the, you know, when's the best day to plant a tree? 20 years ago, when's the second best day? Today. So it's like, just do it immediately. Don't wait anymore, especially if it's like, really is that pressing? Or just be honest with them. I mean, be like, okay, like, yeah, I said I would get that done for you, but you know what? I really just, I don't have the time. And honestly, that just falls super low on my priority list. Like, I believe that you could get this done, or like go and ask this person to do it instead. So, I mean, honesty also helps as well.
Yeah. Even like, hey, I said I'd do that and I didn't, and I'm going to do it today, or I did it today type of thing. Right. Just talked a lot about active listening. For those who weren't there, why don't you share a little bit about active listening and the importance of that with adolescents?
Yeah, active listening is huge. I mean, it goes back to the trust phase of building relationships. So like active listening is just like listening with a concentration level that lets the other person know that you understand the content and the feelings of what they're saying, both verbal and nonverbal. So you're basically like suspending this focus on yourself while just totally and completely tuning into that other person. Like that is active listening. And so when you are active listening, like the whole goal of it is to, again, let the other person know that, hey, I'm listening to you. I understand what you're saying. I understand where you're coming from, and not just like what you're saying, but how you're saying it, the feelings that are involved in your words as well. You know, because like communication, 90% of the message is nonverbal communication. Mm-hmm. So paying attention to both what they're saying and then how they're saying it as well. And yeah, active listening is huge when it comes to building trust with anybody.
Yeah. Maybe we could in real time give an example of it. Like I could tell you something and then you could show me what active listening would be like and what not active listening.
Okay. All right. Yeah.
Okay.
Test me out. Let's go.
All right, here we go. So before we hit record, you told me, you know, you got a run in. And because I wasn't fully active listening, I was like, man, a little bit jealous, because this morning I woke up, I'm like, I'm going to hit the bike, then I'm going to get dressed and hop on and, you know, record this podcast with you, Tyler. But when I grabbed my computer, I realized I left my charger at my other office. So I was frustrated and upset with myself because I had to go drive to my office, get my charger in order to be fully prepared to record this podcast. So that is kind of like what my morning was like before I came on with you.
Damn. Yeah. That's super aggravating when you like have something planned and then you forget something and you're like, oh, man, like, what am I doing here? That stinks, because now it like, now you can't do what you wanted to do because you forgot something. You got to go back and you got to get it. And yeah, that's super aggravating and irritating for sure.
Yeah. So that's an example of active listening, right?
Yeah. And so I didn't, you know, jump into a story about how I forgot something one time and it like, you know, threw my whole day off. I didn't make it about me right away. Or, you know, I didn't jump into advice giving and be like, oh, you know what, maybe you should like, you know, have a little schedule for yourself where it's like, okay, this is my shutdown routine. Like I didn't go into advice giving either, because that again, just like steamrolls over what you just said. Like you don't feel heard or understood. If I'm trying to fix the problem right away, I'm not saying fixing the problem isn't a bad thing. Just like you need to make sure that they feel like you heard and understood them first.
Yeah.
Before getting into, you know, your advice or getting into like problem solving mode or anything like that.
Yeah. And I can see how key that is in communication with adolescents, because I felt very validated by you. Like you didn't make me feel small that I was frustrated. You're like, yeah, that's aggravating. And you could like put yourself in my shoes, but you did stay focused on me. So that that makes sense how that's really helpful in building trust and strong relationships with adolescents.
Yeah. And what you just said too, like putting yourself in that person's shoes, like empathy is a huge part of trust building as well. Yeah. So if you can show that you're empathetic and you've been there before, it doesn't matter if you've been in that specific situation before, but you've no doubtedly felt a emotion similar to what they're going through, you know, or you've been in a situation similar to what they are going through. So it's like, just, yeah, putting yourself in their shoes for a minute. I mean, sometimes it says, you know, one kid just got cut from his baseball team. And I was like, damn, that sucks. Like, sometimes it's as easy as just saying that sucks. Or sometimes it's as easy as saying, man, that's awesome. You know, like if you're involved in the conversation, even by saying those two words, that person can be like, wow, yeah, they really like, they are excited for me.
Yeah. Yeah. And I wonder how unaware we might be at times when we go to like, well, should have put in more work, or, you know, like that advice piece you said, and how damaging that can be in building trust and strength in a relationship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, you could go into that, but let them know that you understand them first before getting into that. Yeah. Should have put in more work portion.
Yep. Cool. Well, thanks for doing that. That was fun. So let's talk communication skills. You said there's a lot there that you have a lot of passion about in relation to adolescence. Why don't you share a little bit of skills that you have in mind?
Okay. So that one we just talked about, active listening, that was the first phase, right? But then you need to let the person know that you were active listening. And so what that little example that we just went through, like what I was doing there was I was paraphrasing you. So paraphrasing is talked about, I feel like, quite a bit. It's almost talked about as much as active listening, because it's how you let somebody know that you're active listening, but we don't do it enough. You know, like paraphrasing is basically restating in your own words the facts and feelings of the speaker. So active listening is listening for the facts and feelings of the speaker. Paraphrasing is restating in your own words the facts and feelings of the speaker. So you're basically giving them, you know, like a brief description of what they just said and what they were possibly feeling as well in that moment. So now the cool thing about paraphrasing is that you don't have to be exactly right about the paraphrase. The whole goal is to just try to paraphrase them, because if you get it wrong, they won't even think twice. They'll just be like, oh, no, that wasn't what I was really saying. Like, here's what I was trying to say, you know? Or if you don't know how to paraphrase them, you might just say, hey, like, could you restate that again? Like, I didn't quite understand it, you know? So like, there's no pressure to be exactly right, because the person's going to really clarify any inaccuracies that are in either your paraphrasing effort or in what they were saying to you, you know, just to build clarification. So, but that paraphrasing part is essential in order to get to the next phase, which is like we talked about, like that advice giving or problem solving mode. So yeah, paraphrasing is huge. And like, I see it, like when I work in the corporate world, I see that happen. So it just like doesn't happen at all, basically. And then these executives are wondering why their employees aren't doing what they want them to do. Or they are wondering why their relationships aren't as good with some employees, but are really good with other employees. And I'm like, well, when you're standing over there with those three, you're paraphrasing every single one of them every time they talk. And then when you're standing over there with them, like, it's like, you're just rolling right through. You don't even care what they say. And you're just like, do this, do this, do this, do this, instead of actually listening to them and what they have to say. So like, I'm like, I'm not surprised you're building a relationship with group A compared to group B. So yeah, I would say paraphrasing is it's active listening and then paraphrasing. Like if you get good at those two things, like your relationships will absolutely take off. And if you listen to any relationship podcasts, like marriage podcasts, or like people on marriage advice, or like one of my favorite questions is every time I meet somebody that's, you know, been married 20, 30, 40 years, I'm like, okay, what's the secret? You know, and it always comes down to two things, and that's communication and work. Like it takes effort to keep a relationship going. And then two, like you need to have good communication skills. Yeah. You know, other people might say listening instead of communication, but listening is communication at the end of the day. So like, yeah, active listening and paraphrasing, like that's how you build a relationship. And then a couple of like skills that are a little bit like I would call them smaller, but they're not really smaller, are behavior descriptions and perception checking. So a behavior description is basically you're describing the behavior that happened and you're asking a question about it. So you're stating this behavior that you're observing from the adolescent without judging or making any accusations. You're just, you know, factually describing the behavior that's observed. So say they show up late, right? It's like, hey, what's one reason you continually show up late to class? You know, or what's one reason that you continually show up late to school? Mm-hmm. Instead of just, you know, launching straight into a you know, getting on top of your soapbox and giving them a speech about how showing up is late is bad, you know, asking them a question first about their behavior that you described. Mm-hmm. Hey, what's one reason that you rolled your eyes at me at practice today? You know, hey, what's one reason it looks like you're falling asleep in class? You know, when you put your head on your hand and your elbow on the table, it looks like you don't care. You know, what's one reason you're doing that in class? So, I mean, these behavior descriptions are huge because you don't really know what's going on inside somebody's head unless you ask. And the behaviors that they're doing are really big indicators for what's going on inside of their head, but you don't really know. And then also, like, when you ask them about their behaviors, maybe they didn't realize they were even doing it, or maybe they didn't realize how it was making you think what they were thinking. Mm-hmm. So behavior descriptions are huge instead of launching into like labeling and just not fully understanding them. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you build that relationship by asking them a quality question about their behavior that's mm-hmm. going on.
So Tyler, what if in the example of like maybe a coach says, what's one reason you roll your eyes at me when I give, you know, an instruction or something like that? What do you do with the response?
Well, then, I mean, it depends if it's a productive response or an unproductive response, mm-hmm. right? Like, if for that one specifically, you know, like you don't necessarily, usually if they're rolling their eyes, that means that they don't care or they didn't like what you had to say. So mm-hmm. yeah, you could just ask them about that. Like, you know, when I brought this up at practice, you rolled your eyes and I start to get the idea that like, you didn't really agree with what I had to say. Mm-hmm. Like what's the reason you believe you rolled your eyes in that moment, you know? And like the whole goal there is to say it as non-judgmentally as possible. Because, you know, as soon as they start to feel judged, they'll get defensive. Yeah. And then as soon as they get defensive, the conversation is basically over. Yeah. So it's keeping it as non-judgmental as possible. And again, like if you're starting from the beginning, like that's the best way to do it, is to make sure the kids don't think you're judging them at every single step. Right. By being like, okay, that was interesting. Like, yeah, when I said this at practice, like it looked like you rolled your eyes. Like, what was the, actually this just happened. University of Florida softball that I work with, one of the players, she had some, you know, negative body language after the coach did something. And so the next day before practice, he pulled her aside and he's like, hey, like yesterday when I did this, like I saw like a little bit of negative body language, like you kind of like threw your head to the side and like looked the other way. And like, you just looked a little irritated. Like what was going on there for you? Yeah. Right. And I stopped him mid-story right there. And I was like, all right, that was awesome, man. Like, that is exactly a behavior description. You're not, you know, judging her or, you know, making her feel bad for doing this. You're just like, you saw it and you're asking, hey, what was the thought process going into those behaviors that you were, you know, exuding to the outside world? And then they wound up having a pretty constructive conversation about what happened. But like, if he would have gone straight into it and been like, you know, like, oh, you're being a selfish player out there, like that negative body language, there's no point in having that on the field. Like, that would have just absolutely destroyed the relationship and not been a good conversation.
Yeah, I can imagine how, like, you know, say in that response to the negative body language or the eye rolling, like, I mean, what if the athlete had the courage to be like, yeah, I actually didn't agree, or I struggled to agree with what you said, or something like that. And there, it opened the field of communication to talk through those things and strengthen relationship. That I can see how powerful that would be.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, like, kids remember that. Again, if like they feel like they're going to be attacked after you do bring that up, well, then you probably have a little bit more trust building to do there. But I feel like most open up when asked a quality question that is non-judgmental. So yeah, behavior descriptions are huge, and then the perception checking one that I brought up is also big, which is like checking to basically clarify another person's thoughts or feelings related to this like shared experience that you guys had. So I kind of brought it up there a little bit, but the whole point is to like dissociate the like your own emotions and feelings from what's going on. So like, you don't make the other person like feel bad about what they did. So like you say, like, the story I'm telling myself is, so that's a Brené Brown one. If anybody has seen her Netflix or read her books, Brené Brown talks about how, like, you know, the story I tell myself is, and then you go into what you're saying. So you're not like, this isn't fact, this isn't what I believe. I'm just looking for clarification, because when you did this, it made me think to myself. And so like, that's the other one, which is like, when I tell myself the truth, this is what I'm thinking about what just happened. So you could say, the story I'm telling myself is, if you and the person on the other end of the conversation, they understand that kind of sentence stem. Or if somebody hasn't really seen Brené Brown, they might be like, the story you're telling yourself, what the heck? You can say like, okay, when I tell myself the truth, this is what I'm thinking about what just happened. So again, you're not saying like, this is what I believe, or you're not labeling them. You're just saying, okay, like, this is the thought I had when you did this thing. Like, how factual or how true is that thought that I'm having? And they're like, oh no, that's absolutely ridiculous. Like, I just had to run out of the house this morning. It wasn't that I like didn't, you know, I don't care about you. I just, or like, I'm mad about the conversation we had last night. I just had to get out of the house this morning. And you're like, oh, okay, all right, yeah, I'm reading into that a little too much then. So yeah, when I tell myself the truth, like, this is what I'm thinking about what just happened.
So in all of like the communication skills, you said active listening, paraphrasing, then there's those skills that you say maybe micro, but maybe are just important, which are, you know, behavior descriptions and perception checking. And a lot of that is like a breeding ground for the opportunity or the ability to give maybe constructive criticism or advice in relationship. Is that kind of what you're saying?
Yeah. So your question was like, that's an opportunity to give advice and constructive feedback?
Advice giving or constructive feedback is best given when active listening, paraphrasing, behavior descriptions, and perception checking is in play. Is that accurate?
Yes, for sure. So yeah, if we were to bring this all the way back to, you know, the point of this, which is like, how do you get more behavior change out of the people you're working with or adolescents, especially, like, yes, like when you are doing those skills, then you're able to get into this like thought changing and behavior changing. You know, I brought it up in the coach call, but like, it's not about behavior stoppage. It's about behavior change. Mm-hmm. You know, telling, yelling, nagging, complaining, that might stop the behavior from happening in that moment, but it's going to happen again, yeah. Right? Like, these skills help you actually change the behavior, because you're going in there and you're like, okay, like, kind of going back to that perception checking, you know, like, I'm starting to think that you, or when I tell myself the truth, this is what I'm thinking about what just happened, right? Like, you're opening up the door for them to have their thoughts and beliefs really put on display there. Mm-hmm. And so when you do that, you're able to help them understand that, like, okay, that belief or that thought or that action isn't the one that's going to help us get to where we want to go. And so that's when the advice comes into play. Mm-hmm. That's when, like, the wisdom of your life experience gets shared, and you're mm-hmm. able to, and then not only that, but they're going to listen to you because they trust what you're saying. Mm-hmm. So then they'll actually be more willing to go home and be like, okay, Julie cares about me, and she told me that, like, this is going to help me get what I want out of my life. And so, you know what, like, let's try it out. Let's see if it works. And then, because you guys have that relationship built, whereas if you don't, then it's going to be like, man, like, Julie sucks anyways. Like, I don't, she doesn't even care about me, you know, like, mm-hmm. why would I listen to her? So it's just so different when you actually, like, let them know that, like, hey, I hear you, I understand you, I care about you. Like, let's work on this together. And that's yeah. the other thing that communication skills do, is they get you on the same side of the issue mm-hmm. with the athlete, instead of the issue being in the middle and you're on one side and the adolescents on the other side. Like, it helps you guys get on the same side and look at the issue together and tackle it together and yeah. Stay solution focused around it together.
You said something that seems really important to me, that to influence positive behavior change, it seems essential to care about the person more than, like, maybe the behavior you'd want to see change, or, like, you know, if it's your athlete and you just want them to make, you know, a change in the sport they're in. Like, if you just care about them changing so that they're, like, better for your team, that's one thing. But if you care about the actual person, like you said, that gives advice, that gives, like, deposit for them as a whole. And I think that makes a big difference.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I mean, I also brought this up in the, that call very briefly, but, like, behavior generalization, like, that will happen. Like, when you, yeah, you care about them more than just, like, in that singular context.
Yeah, that's right.
Right. Like, what you realize is that, like, the skills that you're teaching them in that moment are then going to be generalized elsewhere.
Yeah.
And so, like, you can kind of look at it from the perspective that you're talking about too, where it's like, okay, they're going to generalize this behavior to everything. And that's why it's so important that they change it here in this moment.
Yeah.
The other way around. This moment goes to the larger context.
Yeah, that's great. Well, this has been awesome. Last time we had you on the pod, you were telling us about some feet you were going after in your own personal endeavor. What's a goal or something you're chasing after these days?
Well, a goal right now is that I have my, like, online website going as well. And so at PaysikPerformanceGroup.com, you can join the Mental Skills Mechanics, which is a membership-based website. And so that's my goal right now, is to get that out to the masses.
Okay. So to paraphrase what you just said, a goal you have currently is to get out to the masses your Mental Skills Mechanics on your website to get out to the masses and help people grow in that realm. Is that accurate?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's all like confidence, communication, leadership, skills. It's all really good stuff. So definitely awesome. Check that out.
Well, having spent the time with you, I believe that it's all really good stuff. So go check that out, everybody. And Tyler, thanks for just sharing your wisdom and your experiences with us on the pod today. It's great to have you.
No problem. Thanks for having me. See ya.